John Boy.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of Shelby's World. It is Wednesday, September 9th. Welcome to Wednesday. What's up, Queen? What's happening?
What's going on? Chilling, chilling, chilling. Happy Wednesday, guys. Happy Wednesday, September 9th, 2020.
We're still at the beginning, but we're in the last month of the third quarter of the year.
And you know what? I was just telling a friend today. I say, boy, all these September babies, because my husband's birthday is September. You know, our anniversary is September 8th, and his birthday is September the 18th. So I was like, I always tell him, man, you got the best birthday. That's why we got married in September as well, because I love the month of September. It's just like, I say, but boy, y'all September babies, boy, y'all mamas and daddies was getting it all at the end of December, beginning of January.
So was.
Like, they was getting it in, because guess what? You exactly 9 months, exactly, yeah, was born on the 9th month, exactly the 9 month cycle of pregnancy. You was born. Like,
that's right.
Oh, my God. But, yes, September, I love this time of year. Even though we're still going through the whole pandemic, to me, September is the best time of year with the football season and all of that stuff. It's going to be different this year, but I still love the month of September. Like, it's
fall is a beautiful time of year anyway. I think, you know, fall is my most favorite time of year. And I know September is just really closing out, because Labor Day closes out summer. But
yeah.
Getting ready to go into fall always is a beautiful time of the year for me. I don't know. For the last two summers, though, the last two falls, we've had, like, shady falls. They haven't been, like, fall weather, winter weather like that. You know how we normally get? We'll get little bits and pieces of it. But I'm looking forward to hopefully getting some fall weather this year. But with the way 2020 has been going, I don't know.
Okay. It's like, We may not, but who's to say? We'll just see what goes on. But I hope so. I really hope. And you can tell, you can also, not really this year, but I used to be able, it was like, I guess with the whole pandemic has really thrown people off. Because I used to be able to tell, like, when the kids got ready to go back to school, it was just like a different aura. Like, that first day of school for kids, like, oh, man, this is the last week kids go back to school. Labor Day weekend come. I just felt something different, but I didn't feel that this year. I didn't feel it at all. Like, it was just, like, something just, you would always just come on me like, oh, man, we're going into the fall season, you know, football, this thing to be going on. Okay, kind of like have my schedule planned out of different events that I know I'm going to go to and stuff like that. But even like the weather and the atmosphere alone was just different. But this year, it's just like we going to the next day. Like, nothing really never changed. It's like it's just another day. That's just how it felt to me, like it's just another day. So a little different, but, you know,
it's just been like
I'm still staying positive.
And having how school at home and work at home has just been feeling like that every day for me.
But staying
positive and keeping our mind open to what's coming is what we're doing right now. So.
Yes. So shout out to all y'all parents that's at home, that's still working from home, that's able to be with your kids, if your kids doing virtual school online and stuff like that. Like, man, look, I salute all y'all parents that's out here, especially the elementary parents. I salute y'all.
Right.
That's a lot of work. It's a lot of work, a lot of work. So I salute all the parents that's still at home working from home and, you know, trying to make sure that these kids stay on track, still be excelling in these classrooms and stuff online, still making these honor students that we didn't produce on this earth. So, you know, shout out to the parents, the moms and dads, because it's a lot more work now that we have to do now with our kids being home and stuff. So, you know, I salute y'all parents. Keep up the good work. Keep up the good work.
That's right.
What we got today? Let me go ahead and do our sponsor so we can go and kick into this show today.
That's right.
What we got going on. Well, all right, guys, you know, shout out to our sponsors. We're going to shout out Shelby's Bistro. Oh, my God, y'all. I checked out Shelby's Bistro IG page this weekend and some other people, and she did a gorgeous little brunch. What was breakfast brunch? For a young lady that turned 13, y'all got to check out Shelby's Bistro. I'm telling you guys, like, she laid a spread out. Check her out on IG. Hit her up. Hire her for your catering services that you going to need for this fall. Look, matter of fact, y'all need to go ahead and book Shelby's Bistro up to September of 2021. That's what y'all need to do. So check out Shelby's Bistro on IG. Our second sponsor is J2 Couture. Make sure you check out J2 Couture on IG and Facebook at J2 Couture LLC on Facebook and just J2 Couture on IG for all your beauty care needs, from hair, cosmetics. She's going to be doing facials soon. So, you know, check out J2 Couture for all those beauty and fashion needs and tips that you need on IG and Facebook at J2 Couture. Shout out to our sponsors, our creators, our homies. Like, shout out to Joe and Patrick of Freedom Train Network, y'all. Check them out on freedomtrainradio.com and also on IG at Freedom Train Network. Thanks, Pat and Joe, for, you know, y'all keep this thing going. And shout out to all the other podcast shows that's a part of the Freedom Train Radio as well. And, you know, look, Shelby's Bistro on IG, Shelby's World Podcast on IG, which is @ Shelby's World Podcast, J2 Couture on IG and Facebook, and also Freedom Train Network on IG as well. So, guys, shout out to our sponsors. Let's get this show on the road, Queen.
And while we on the while Queen just gave such a wonderful, brilliant breakdown of our sponsorships, let me tell y'all about the shows that are on Freedom Train. On Mondays, we got the Fix Sports and Culture that is held down by Joseph Ward. On Wednesdays, we have Freedom Train Podcast. That's with Joseph Ward and Patrick Irvine. Then you have myself with Queen Candace on the Shelby's World. On Thursdays, we have Lessons from the Screen, also podcast by Mr. Patrick Irvine. On Fridays, we have the Enigma Step Hour. That's a hip-hop music and culture podcast. Check that out. And on Saturday, we have On the Shoulders of Giants. That's also by one of our sponsors, Mr. Joseph Moore. The only days that we are not booked up with shows is on Tuesdays and Sundays, because those are our rest days for right now. But if we fill them up, we fill them up. That's just letting y'all know what we got going on Freedom Train. So check us out. It's a wonderful podcast on there for y'all to listen to. And Freedom Train is sponsored by Pax Inc. If you want to donate to the Freedom Train Network, log on to Pax Inc. and check out Freedom Train Radio sponsorship button on there and tap it and donate. We appreciate you because y'all make it possible. And also, jumping on the back of that, thank y'all for constantly building up our numbers every week. I see every week that our show is increasing likes, shares, comments, commentary, just in the audience number, just for listening to the show in general is spiking. So thank you all so much for being dedicated to the Freedom Train, being dedicated to Shelby's World Podcast.
Salute, salute, salute. Yes. Hey,
Big things, big
growing,
things.
Growing in numbers, influence, influence, influence. We're growing in numbers.
Right.
We're influencing people out here. That's a good thing. As I always tell my kids, as long as you influencing people the right way, it's always good.
That's right. So we're going to go ahead and get this show popping off, popping off. Our quote of the day is by Miss Angela Davis. And as we know, the road to freedom has always been stalked by death. We know the road to freedom has always been stalked by death. And that's from the great Angela Davis, who's still with us today. And our fact of the day also comes from Miss Angela Davis as well. And all I'm going to do is just tell you about her portion, her part in the Black Panther Party. Miss Angela Davis is a prominent political activist, scholar, and author. She emerged as the leader of the Communist Party USA in the 1960s and held close ties to the Black Panther Party. She has advocated for the abolishment of prisons and prison industrial complexes. She is currently distinguished professor emerita at the University of California in Santa Cruz, where she taught in the History of Consciousness Department and is the former director of the Feminist Studies Department. With her, let me go down a little bit, because her fight and her goals were to make sure that she would get off and fight her own, she fought her own trial and got off, beat charges and everything that they held against her. You don't see that happening. You just don't see something like that happening. Very smart woman.
Smart.
Yeah.
Like Afeena Shakur did.
Correct.
Did as well. But, hey, she was part of Black Panther, too. So, you know, she's some smart queen.
And it was in the right area, too. Davis's vocal support for the Black Panther Party was another reason for her persecution of Governor Reagan and the FBI. So that was the reason for some of the reasons for why she had to go to war and fight her own battles. I chose Miss Angela Davis today because Miss Davis is well known for her notable arrest in 1970. In 1970, George Jackson, an inmate at Soledad Prison in California, and two prisoners were charged with killing a prison guard. During the trial, Jackson's 17-year-old brother, Jonathan Jackson took over a Marion County courtroom where he armed Black defendants and took the judge, prosecutor, and three female jurors hostage. By the end of the whole ordeal, the judge, Jonathan Jackson, and the armed defendants were killed while the prosecutor and one of the juries were injured. Davis was accused of purchasing the gun used in the commission of the crime. So she was charged with aggravated kidnapping and first-degree murder. And she did it. So today, we salute Miss Angela Davis, she's in our National Black Archives. She's of African American heritage, and we just want to put salute to Miss Davis. And
she is a bona fide queen.
Bona fide. So, Queen, you got anything you want to say about Miss Davis before we jump into the show?
Man, look, I just say salute. Salute, salute, smart. That is a smart lady. Very articulate in everything. Like, you know, you want to meet so many people before you leave this earth or before they leave the earth, especially older people that can give out that wisdom. I just want to, just to be able to just talk to her and act, like, see what she think, how she feel about everything that's going on now.
Mm-hmm.
With the whole Black Lives Movement, the George Floyd, all of this, just, like, what is her thoughts on it now? And also, what is she actually doing? Because she could be doing things behind the scenes that we don't know about.
Well, she's still currently teaching, and we don't know any, you know, as far as anything else that she's currently doing in the movement and I know she's playing her part in it, but for the most part, she's low-key with anything that she's doing right now.
I would just love to talk to her just to get that wisdom and knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Just that wisdom and knowledge. But I salute Queen. Like, Man, you don't really, and I can't really say, it's queens out here today that's up in the come ups, up and rising. That's like Angela Davis, but would they have the heart like she did?
Correct.
Will they have the heart like she has and everything that she did? Because when I say she spoke, she spoke. Then Sugar Cole, then, you know, didn't hold nothing back. When she spoke, she spoke and gave it to you raw and honest. So, you know, shout out to Miss Angela Davis. Big up to her. I wish more kids could learn about her more in class as far as, like, history and stuff like that. But, you know, hey, that's a whole nother subject. That's a whole other subject. But shout out to Miss Angela Davis. Shout out to her. Now, her and Athena Shakur, the only two people that I know, black women, that did something like that. So it might, and I know it's probably more out here that we probably never even heard of.
It's very true. You know, there's more people out. Like we hear more about, like you heard more about things happening with people that were in similar situations when we grew up. Like, there were many other Rosa Parks before Rosa Parks. There were many other, you know what I'm saying? So we learn more about those people as time goes on, as we get either familiar with teaching ourselves, you know, or somebody has given us that fact. Either way, we're going to run across some other significant people.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. So shout out to Queen. Shout out to her. Would love to just sit down and just talk to her one day. Might happen, it may not. I don't know. But, you know, just being able to talk to somebody that's older. And I can't even say older, because I always say age is just a number. Mm-hmm. Wisdom can come from somebody young, because age is just a number. But, you know, I wouldn't mind talking to that queen, you know, just sitting down and just being able to just talk to her, not even do an interview, just talk. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Just talk woman to woman, you know, just to, you know, because, hey, school me, queen, school me, older queen, school me, old. And we need more. We don't have that anymore. You really don't have that as much as you used to. What an older generation, you know, sit down with the younger generation and talk to them and give them, you know, wisdom. And then you don't really see that as much as you used to. Now, I know I don't, how I used to see it as when I was growing up young around my grandmother and stuff like that. But you don't really see that as much with the older generation now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just because everybody feel like they so busy now. Everybody always on the move and on the go doing something. Nobody don't have time to sit down and be a deep, nice, vibing conversation where you getting that knowledge, you getting that wisdom as well. And because, you know, we teach each other, old and young. We teach each other. We learn from one another.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to learn talking to her and a couple other these queens out here and kings, a couple other ones out here. But shout out to Miss Angela Davis, queen. Shout out to her. What's next on the agenda?
So y'all see that. That's one queen saluting another queen. That's how we got to keep doing things. So so tonight we're going to talk about the black woman. And but not just the black woman. Being woman. Just being woman in general. And what we're told not to talk about, but we're going to talk about anyway. That type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's a lot of the, before I even jump into that, a lot of conversations are put in an off-limit basis when women talk about it. It's considered nasty and not being ladylike and all those different things, that these different mantras that people preach when a woman is saying something that they don't like. And this has been going back for generations and centuries and centuries and centuries and times and times. It's not going to change. People are going to always have a problem with women being, as they say, unladylike or unwomanly. But there's no such thing. Let me just go ahead and clarify that. A woman can be how she wants to be. Now, is there a time and a place for certain things? Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. We don't deplete that. And that is true. But if you start to limit the person that you have and she starts to shrink herself because you don't want her to look like that in your image, then you are losing a big part of that person that you call yourself falling in love with. And then now you're also breaking down a person who is happy with themselves. And you're because you're not happy with yourself, you tearing down a person who is. That's not cool. Yeah. So allow your woman to be the woman that she wants to be, because women are ever-changing, forever happy people. We're some of the most difficult people to get along with. We're some of the most hardest.
That's what they say, because I don't think that's true. But go on, Queen, but we're going to talk about it.
We're some of the most hardest, softest people in the world, and we're nurturers even if we don't have children. So it's we're a complete cycle. And with our woman, you don't have a complete society. So we want to talk about what it is in these cyclings of life, the power of woman, what type of things keep us going. And if we weren't doing just an audio show today, we'd take some feedback from the audience and get y'all opinions on this. But because it's audio, we're just gonna have the Queen and I discuss this, and you guys can leave comments and give us y'all feedback on the topic or whatever.
Yeah, maybe we do a part two to this also live, like we're gonna do the other one.
Yeah, we might need to do a part two to this one, Queen.
Do a part two of this also, like we're gonna do the other one there. I came here for, but you know. So, yeah, like, that's what's up, the power of the woman.
So, with being a woman, one of the first concepts that people look at when you think about being a woman is a woman as a mother. And we skip over the whole aspect of the woman being a woman is first. And she's first, period, because she can't become a mom and she knows what it is to be a woman. The cycling of life flows through that woman's body, period, because we're the people who are, we're the carriers of the life cycle. We produce how the child comes out. The cycling of life is penetrated by the male, but sustained by the woman. So with that being said, the nature of being a woman starts definitely with us being a woman first, but secondly is creating life. What in creating life, Queen, how significant is it for you in the creation of life versus just being a woman? Where does your significance stand in that, the significance of those two? Where do you feel you stand in the category of being a woman with the life cycle?
With the life cycle of birth, you know, childbirth.
Yeah. Like, how do you feel? Do you feel like that's the most important part of being a woman?
No.
Because people feel like that as a woman, that's our job.
Because you got to think about women that's not able to have kids. Like, so we can't even. That's part of it. But, man, everything that a woman's about, from her looks, her shape, her hair, her lips, her eyes, the way she, you know, the way you smell as a woman, like everything, your breasts, your butt, like it's everything. Like it's just not that mother. Candace is just not a mother. I'm a woman. I consider myself a queen, a whole woman. But I'm not just that. I wasn't put here on earth just to procreate, like if that's what I said, like I wasn't here to just be a mother, because that mother also got a, and see me either. As a kid, I'm gonna put it like this. As a kid,
right.
As a kid, elementary, playing with dogs, yes, I did. I always said four children. My husband, my career, my husband, my children. It didn't happen like that, y'all. It ain't fall in that category like that, like I planned in my mind as a kid. When I got to middle school, I was like, man, I ain't having no D-churn. I don't want no churn. All of that. And I was just like, I want to be able to live life. I want to be able to travel. I want to be able to do this. I don't know if I want to be having to take a child, raise a child. That's too much. Because being in middle school, me coming from a small town and coming to Tallahassee, and once I got to middle school, after I had been here 2 years, middle school was a really big eye-opener for me. I knew a lot of stuff, but just being, you know, I was in a small town with everybody knew everybody, and your family was a big part of that small town as well. So I wouldn't even be the woman that I am if I stayed in that small town. I knew, I won't say I'm street savvy, but I got a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I got a little bit. So I don't, being a woman is, man, it's everything. We do so much. People literally depend on us. And when I'm not just saying just our children, everybody around you depend on a woman. From the husband, the boyfriend, the churn, the parents, the in-laws, co-workers, if you own a business, your employees, like, I didn't want children, but I will say this. When I did find out that I was pregnant with my daughter after high school, right after high school, I ended up getting pregnant right after high school, and not realizing that I was pregnant until I was 4 and a half, almost 5 months pregnant. I sat down with matriarch of our family, which is my grandmother, and just this lady had 9 kids. 6 survived and helped raise grandchildren as well by running a business. And only thing I could think of, how can I be that type of woman? The mother that she was. She raised 6 children, was a single parent as well with her last 4 children, and started a business in her home while raising children, and helped raise her grandkids running this business, and some of her great nieces and nephews as well. Like, I'm pregnant with this child, and how can I be like this lady here? Because this lady here amazing to me. Like, and this is my grandma, and she had, you know, raised me as well for a while. But I didn't, all of that, but I called her, and she just, as we were talking earlier, she gave me them words of wisdom. And just telling me, you know, you got to nurture that baby. You need to get up while you're pregnant. You need to do this. You need to do that. You need to say nice words while that baby in your womb. You need to be speaking to that child, telling that child that she's, you don't, I didn't know if it was a boy or girl, telling that child they smart, they beautiful, they going to be this, they going to be that. Singing. I mean, she just, my grandma, just she just saying this stuff to me. And I was like, oh, wow, like, you know. You can't be mean. Be nice to people. Be nice to people because they consider me being mean. Be nice to people. But when I had, so I did all of that she told me to do. But being there in childbirth and having that child and what looking at my mom, my kids, grandmother, and my best friend in the room as I'm having that child, and the midwife and the nurse, I was like, wow, this is Lord, this is what being a woman is about. I feel whole, but I'm still this little girl. I'm still this little girl, and I know I'm here to be a mom. I'm going to be a great mom, I think, but I was still thinking, like, my career and stuff. Like, now what I really got to go hard now, because now I got this child to think about.
Mm-hmm.
But just being a mom is not, that's not a whole woman. I say when you're able to juggle it all, the career, all of that, and still be in a place of balance. Everybody good, you good, the churn good, if you got the husband, the boyfriend, whatever, everybody good. And everybody good, because that woman then set the stuff in motion, because she run, especially if she's the woman that's running the household and everything, she just set everybody up for greatness, because she like what she do. She doing what she do is great as well. But you look, the women is everything. Like, it's no us without a woman. It wouldn't be Shelby and Shelby and Candace without a woman. Our mothers, their mothers, like, and a black woman. Man, at one point, our ancestors were mothers of kids that they didn't even birth.
I know the reason. My thought on the cycling of life is this: that is, yes, women are supposed to create, nurture, mold, build. We're supposed to do all of these wonderful things. However, if we're not in a safe space or feeling as if we should be in a space to produce, we're not going to always produce healthy kids. We're not going to always produce the best outcome, the best surroundings for our children. Because, for one, being woman is one of the hardest things in this universe to be, because of the simple fact that there are so many plagues placed upon woman. Because she's not supposed to be strong. She's not supposed to be able to do things that a man can do. And she's also not supposed to have the desire to be a boss. Women are not supposed to be in charge. We're supposed to be home, cooking, raising children. So society's idea of what a woman is recently started changing, and society not able to handle that anymore. It's too much because women have always been, and I will say this, let me, for every behind, we already know that behind every great man is a successful, greater woman pushing it to happen. So when you think that man up there that's standing at that podium preaching every Sunday or giving these lectures in front of his class, don't read off his work to his wife and she approves of that before he goes out in front of the world, then you're highly mistaken. Women are still making a lot of the decisions behind the closed doors. It's just the man that's standing in front speaking it. We're supposed to be the piece of the puzzle that makes the puzzle fit, make it closed out, make it whole. And until we are looked upon as equals to man, equals to anybody in this society, there's always going to be problems and people thinking that women just supposed to be here to bear children. As a child, I never imagined even having children. I was like, I'm the oldest of 10 kids. I ain't having no children. All I see is children. All I breathe is children.
All my life,
I don't want to see no more children. And that, that really did something to me. It made me think that I was going to be missing out on a huge part of my life, because I felt that I didn't want something just because of the hardness I saw that came along with it.
Yeah.
There are so many things that mothers do that we're not even ingrained to do, that we're not even taught to do, because it's just something you pick up along the way, and that's the beauty of being a woman. Women are some of the most ingenuitive people. And every time I say that word to my children, they be like, here she go. Because I tell them,
go
Use your ingenuity. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not going to always tell you how to handle it. Because sometimes you just got to figure it out. Correct.
Yeah.
And that's a lot. And there's so much in this life, Queen, that I have learned on my own because I had to learn it. And
you have no choice.
I have a choice. So and these things happened before I had children. I didn't have my first child until I was 21. So that's not a lot of years between the time that I graduated from high school. However, it was a lot of time for me to know that at 21, when I seen that I was going to have this child, that everything about my life is about to change now. Yes, I was a woman before, and I handled everything that I needed to handle for myself. Now I'm about to be a woman and a mother. So that part of my existence flourished. So I don't feel terrible when a person says that women are made to bear, to be the bearer of children. I don't feel terrible about that. I don't feel terrible about it, but I don't want people to think that that's all we here for. That's all we're good for. Because you're right. There are lots of women who cannot even have children. And they're some of the best people in the world. We don't look down on them just because they can't have children and say, oh, you're not a strong woman. I'm not allowed to tell another woman her strength ain't strong just because she couldn't have a baby. Are you kidding me? That means that I am demeaning her. I am sizing her to what the world has decided we are, barriers.
Yep.
And that's it. She's doing so many other great things beyond having children. So being a woman, it's so much. We got to fight so many different demons, and we got to get up and do, we got to prove ourselves 10 times harder. We got to, we have to, the daily struggle every day of, you know,
it's
trying
real.
To, one, look sexy, and then also, just look not too sexy because you don't want nobody to think you're overdoing it, but you don't want to look too plain because you don't want them to think you don't care about yourself.
Have, you classy. We'll say classy.
You got to have, you know what I'm saying? It's so much. We carry so many things on our backs. And then to top it all off, you're a black woman. Oh, my God. You contending with the white woman. You contending with the white man. And now you're in contending with the black man.
With your own man.
So, I mean, it's a constant battle. It's a constant battle. We, women, which is why I love women. I love being a woman. Trust me, I love it. But I don't believe in all that feminist shit. I ain't on that.
Mm-mm.
Like, I love the whole woman thing because I don't think that we got to go up and stand in a movement to say, I believe in feminism just because I'm a woman. No, because there's a lot of feminist shit that they do that I don't agree with. So I'm not going to box myself into that. However, I'm very, very happy to be a woman, and I'm even happier to be a black woman. So if anybody, you know, questions the fact that we can cycle life, yes, it's a great thing to do. It's a wonderful thing. We wouldn't be able to create you monster men if we weren't the ones cycling that life. But don't sum us down to just the cycle of life.
No. Much more.
Don't do it like that.
There's much more to us than that.
Much more.
And
that leads us into the power of being a woman. Where do you stand, Queen, as a woman? Where do you stand with your power?
I stand with my power.
What do you use your power for? What good is your power?
To influence somebody to do better. Starting with my children.
Okay.
But I get, boy, that's a question. Because as women, we use that power. It don't matter if it's in that bedroom or in that boardroom. We going to use what we got, especially when it comes down to men.
Yep.
Especially, like, boy, us women, we some creatures, and we not creatures of habit.
And the thing about women is, the reason why I can say The reason why I can say that women, when I said that earlier, I think the statement I said, I'm going to remember, the way women, because women are very, very manipulative.
Mm-hmm.
They're very conniving, and especially mm-hmm. if you're dealing with a certain type of women. You are
a certain type of woman.
And a lot of reason why women have so much anger and issues built up in them is because of trauma-related issues. A lot of people
yes.
don't want to be healed, and then a lot of these women going for healing, because a lot of us believe in therapy. We're seeking healing for ourselves.
Yeah.
But a lot of people don't want to be healed because they like playing the victim. They like being manipulative.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them don't even know that that's who they – that some of them don't
who
even
they,
know
who
they
really
that way
don't
because,
know that, that,
because
yeah.
they can't. They don't even
and
realize
been,
it.
That is – that is if they can't, so they – and guess what? They've been doing it since they were that little girl.
They've been doing it for so long, they've been trained to do it. They've been trained. Just like any child that's raised to do something, they're going to either use it to their advantage or try to fight using it. And
yep.
most times, because that's your weakness, you lean on using it more.
Yep.
Women have a very, we're very vengeful, hateful people. And that's why I say it to my kids all the time. I wish sometimes, Queen, sometimes I wish I had the vengeful bone in my body. Sometimes I wish I had to do unto others as they do unto you bone in my body. But I realize by me not having that bone in my body, that has allowed me to make better decisions.
Uh-huh.
And it has allowed me to continue to grow in my life because
yeah.
I can say that had I had these vengeful bones, I'd have fucked some people up along the way that were ill to me.
Yeah.
And or,
I mean, really, really. Really,
yeah,
really.
And my humility and my thirst and my anguish to hurt people, but my thirst for life and happiness keeps me balance to where
mm-hmm.
I don't even want to hurt. I can't because I'm always thinking about how something to come back on me or what it or how to stop me
yeah.
from growing.
I always
or,
say,
you know,
yeah, I always say I got a conscience.
It is, and
it
my conscience worried. My conscience, that thing, that deep.
Because when I sit there think about it on that, like, oh man, I know, like, no, nah, that.
But I'm also a person who.
Right.
I'm also a person who. Think about my decisions before I make them. Like, if you've
mm-hmm.
hurt me and wronged me, I don't just react. I take the time to figure out how I'm gonna handle things.
You
I give myself some time. And I've even, as my children grew older, that's why I realized my power. So to go to that question, to go to what we were focused on, the where I stand in my power as a woman, I've realized that I have the power to speak to people and make them move. I've realized that
mm-hmm.
that's my power, and
mm-hmm.
and it's not because I'm going to talk to you and hurt you. It's because I'm going to say things to you that's going to remind you of who you are and what you're trying to do because you're forgetting about it in this moment. You're forgetting about
mm-hmm.
it through your anger. You're forgetting about it through your hurt and your sadness. So because of those things, I'm going to make sure and remind you that that's not of you. I'm going to help remind you to remember how great you are in those moments. So I have the power of speaking and helping people change and remember who they are, and or just speaking life into people in general.
So
I use my power in ways that help people. I've never used my power to help myself because I didn't even realize I had that as a power. So
mm-hmm.
I said that to say this: if you're actually working and walking in your power, half the time you don't even know your power is even being used as a woman, because you, it's just of you. That's just of you. That's your character. That's your personality. That's of you. So you tend to forget.
DNA.
Yes, yes. So you will tend to forget that this is a power. However, you will be reminded at some point by other people that you've been able to use this part of you to help someone else. That's your power. So I want that. We have to have. We have to have women realizing who and what they are in their power. We have to start reminding people of that, because a lot of times people just living. They just going day to day.
Yeah.
They just going day to day. They don't know where they stand as a woman, where they stand as a person. They don't know. They're using their power in manipulative games. They're using their power to manipulate love.
That's where that confidence comes in with some of them. That confidence.
But a lot of people don't even have confidence because they're using their power wrong.
They're using it because they're using it wrong.
Yeah, they're using it wrong. So for those particular areas where the power is the power of woman is being used in a negative manner, it makes us as women look creep. Make us look like we don't know how to handle ourselves. Make us look like we just trying to take over and be what they call them. What they call the women that's overly aggressive women, man eaters. That they man eaters. You know, it's so much. It's like because we're using our power in a negative manner, our power is being looked upon as if women just. And then, especially if you're a black woman,
especially
your power
when they say
is
black,
being written.
Ooh, what?
You being written off purposely,
she rude. She did. She dead. She don't like to listen.
Because we're not healing ourselves.
Yeah.
Because we're not healing
and
ourselves.
And a lot of it's a lot of it is child. A lot of it come from childhood trauma. And never got the help and got healed from it. And you got to learn how to forgive yourself as well. And I think some people probably are healed from it and will probably be healed from it if they just forgive themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But they ain't forgave themselves. They still punishing themselves. You got to go out here and you got to talk to somebody. But, yeah, women, especially us black women, boy, they put us so down. So, oh, Lord, put us down so bad. It's just something came to my mind about one of my patients' daughter was going through her divorce. She got one child. They say she suffered from bipolar. Husband did. She stayed with her mom for a while when I used to work for them, so I was able to see, like, how her and her husband interact. Husband's smart man, but, you know. But listening to her complain about taking care of her son, being a single mother, I mean, master's degree, got a great state job, make good money, and I'm just listening to it. I'm like, girl, do you know what a black woman would be doing with a salary that you make and a single mom and probably not taking care of one kid but maybe taking care of four kids and getting it every day and complaining? And you sitting up there complaining about one child where you got full help from your ex-husband, this man that you finna divorce that did a lot for you, your child, when you ain't have to be in there giving him a bath, getting him up in the morning, getting dressed and stuff like that. But you complaining, well, it's another black mom that might be my neighbor or myself that get up and get it every day and on a fixed income.
Yeah.
And making it happen.
Yeah.
Making it happen. That power alone making it happen. Girl. And I'm just listening like these people don't realize they white, They have been privileged all their lives. Even though her mom was a single mom of three girls herself, but the thing is, she was white. It's a difference. And to hear her complain, when I'm like, girl, this woman right here got 4 or 5 kids making it happen. And you
well,
go out
you
here complaining, and you got one
you
kid.
But you said, though, that's because of the privilegedness, you know.
Like,
it
oh,
happened.
My God. It happened. So a black woman power, boy, look, we carry a lot of strength. You know what? You posted a post one day, and the lady was in the water. And I remember just, she calling for help. Queen out there in the water calling for help now.
I know that's what you're talking about.
And they just give her a high five. Oh, you strong. And literally let Queen drown when Queen was out there in the water needing help.
Reaching.
Telling you. Reaching. Reaching. You can, if you know your home girl well enough, and if you just know people and know how to read people, you can tell when something's wrong with people. People hold they aura about them even when they come into a room and something wrong with them. If you're a person that know people and you able to read people and pick up on stuff, you will pick on that quick just by looking at people sometimes.
Sure will.
So it's
sure will,
man.
And the post
that
say black,
because
she out there in the middle of the water, it said black women dealing with trauma and suffering, society reaching down like they helping, and then they high five and say you are so strong, and she just drowned, and you know,
and she just drowned.
That's what it is, please.
She just drowned.
Yeah.
Her whole society failed her. Her family, everybody.
Everybody. And that's why we're trying, that's exactly why these safe spaces for women are important, just like safe spaces for men are just important. We have to get out of feeling like we got to deal with these things on our own. Your power.
We got to be able to talk to each other
exactly.
As women.
And
don't
your power
going
to have to be
that.
Healing yourself.
Yeah. And because you don't know what the next woman going through. Some of us go through a little bit harder than others, and some of us just know you won't even know that we're going through it because we know how to pick up our bootstraps, pick up our big girl underwear, and we keep it moving.
Right.
And even with that, sometimes that one that's keeping it moving got a lot of pain built up inside and need to release and talk to somebody as well.
It's a need. People just be
it's
scared to because it's probably scary to open up to people who you don't know going to try to shun
and
you or say something negative
thing.
But you got to do it. You got to do it. Yeah, sometimes the best thing is not to say nothing. But you also got to know who to talk to. I realized at one point in my life, it was easier to go and talk to a therapist, somebody who I didn't know, versus talking to somebody who I did know. Because sometimes your friend's going to tell you what they think of you, but only from what they see of you, not from what you told them. So they don't want to, like a lot of times people don't see what you see with yourself. So when you go and open up to a counselor, a therapist, about what you feel about yourself, they're going to listen to what you're saying about yourself. They're not trying to look beyond the fact that you're a good person. Here, they don't know you're a good person. They're not trying to think about the fact that you helped me pay my light bill last month. They're not thinking about that. They're not.
They're trying to get to the root of your problem.
Exactly. That's a lot of the reason why people make their judgments and their responses based on their personal feelings of you, what you've done for them personally. So they can't see past that enough to really want to help and heal you to give you the real deal about what you really are. So it is sometimes easy to go speak with a therapist. As far as our powers, though, if you can't find out if you don't know exactly what your power is, it's not like it's a terrible thing that you can't recognize it. It's just what it is that once you do see it, don't let it shock you to the point where you're afraid to use it. That's all I want to remind
you. That's you. That's your character.
You. And you know, and if it's and do know this, if it's a negative power, if it's something that's gonna come back later on and bite you in your ass, that might not be the power you think you're supposed to be using. Just think about it now. I don't want to say, oh, all power is good power. No, because it's not. Because again, I just told you, I just gave a great example, a great scenario. We use our powers in negative ways, which is why people think of us as bad and fucked up as individuals. They look at us like black women is. They have so many negative stereotypes about black women just because the way we use our power, we haven't healed. We're not using our power in a positive manner because we're still fighting demons. We're still facing trauma. So, you know.
Still dealing with old stuff.
Yeah, fighting old battles and things of that nature. There's a lot of stuff that be going on there. So if you're not using your power to be great, let's start reshifting those things and start shifting things to the point where we actually can start utilizing the power of woman and just being
get
a woman in
healed.
A more positive manner. Get healed.
Yep,
we got,
get
again,
healed.
We do know a great mental health expert. She's black. She does an Black American mental health, and her name is LaShondra Cromedy, and she is a part of our Link Up family. So she's with Blue Lotus Counseling and Holistic Services. You can just type that in on Google, and it's going to give you everything you need to know. You can book an appointment. She takes every form of insurance down to Medicaid. Get yourself some help. Get yourself some healing. Queen, you got anything you want to say to the people before we get out of here?
Y'all just get help. Stay positive, man. Look, do what you got to do for you. Sometimes you got to just stop and put yourself first and get yourself together. Don't be worrying about all the nay-nays, hey-hays, and she-says. Get you together so you can be a better person. Because there's somebody out there waiting on you to come help them out and show them how to move and where they need to go and how they can use their power and stuff to get where they're trying to go in life. It's somebody out here for all of us that we're going to have to school and give them them words of wisdom and encouragement so they can move to the next level. So, you know, just stay positive, man. Like, get yourself together. And if you need some help, like truly, go get you some help. Go talk to somebody. Man, you might be surprised what you get off your chest and then come out that thing 20 pounds lighter. Right. Talk to somebody. And it, to me, there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with it going to a therapist. Or if you ain't got no therapist, find your mentor or something like that. There's somebody else that you can talk to.
Right.
You know, so just stay positive, y'all.
Hey.
Go talk to grandma. Go talk to somebody that the oldest person in your family that you know that can give you some good wisdom. See what they're talking about. They always good wisdom. They're going to give you some good stuff. They'll get you through, too. So, you know, or maybe go talk to all of them, the therapist and, you know, somebody older in the family. Like, you know, mentor. Like, hey, maybe you need three different people to talk to that just sitting there just, you know, listening. But also giving you some positive advice and maybe some things that you may need to do. And then you may need to talk to yourself, have a conversation with yourself, because it may be some things that you need to work out with just yourself.
That's true.
You know?
That's true.
Especially if you're a person that's ambitious and you just had a hope now. Like, it's something that's going on with you that you need to figure out so you can get that momentum, that ambition back so you can go on and go to that next level where you're trying to go. But hey, we got to
heal
for each other.
Correct. Yeah. And it's going to have to start off with some type of healing because, I mean, not every woman is broken and not every woman has trauma. True indeed.
Mm-hmm.
But for the ones who do, and the ones who eventually don't have it but may walk into it and face it, make sure you take the time to heal yourself. And also, just to circle back, we did start off this conversation with saying that women have been so ingrained in being just looked upon as child bearers, and that's all we've been taught, is that we are here to cycle life. And we just wanted to remind y'all that the cycle of life, it takes more than one person. So, you know, we that means that we have a dependency on each other. Women, men, society, we all have a dependency on each other to be able to have a functional culture. And that means that we have to start understanding each other more, communicating with each other more, and realizing what our powers are and where our powers lie, so that we can start healing each other. Because if we constantly are using our powers for negative advancements within, you know, on each other, our culture will be doomed forever. And on that note, y'all stay blessed, stay up. We like you. We love you. Peace.
Bye.
Take care, Queen.